Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning. It's John Williams. I'm just looking at the results of our news click, the daily web poll question. We post something going on in the news every day and give you a chance to sound off on it. Yesterday's question was about the Chicago Sun-Times endorsing Kim Fox for state's attorney, and we gave you three options, and the one that got most of the votes, 87%, said, well, that's a bad idea. Sun-Times endorsing Kim Fox for state's attorney, 87% said bad choice, 10% said it's too soon to tell, and a whopping 3%, which is actually the margin of error, said, yeah, that's a good idea. Of course, the thing's 100% scientifically not accurate. It's just a text-in survey or click-on survey. So I believe the plus or minus margin of error is 100% on this thing, but still, it doesn't look good. But they kind of knew that when they put that out there. And a few of you have reminded me that the Sun-Times is a union newspaper, and maybe it's the politics of the newspaper to endorse Kim Fox. I actually think they have something to their convictions on this, and they know it might not be very popular, but there it is. We had a nice conversation with the editorial page editor, Tom McNamee, yesterday. You can hear it in its entirety at WGNradio.com. I don't know what our new news click will be about today, but maybe it is this. Should we just put all of the teams in the playoffs, play 162 games because they really won't matter, and then everybody gets a cookie, and then whoever's hot at the end of the baseball season gets to be in the playoffs, and maybe they get to win the World Series. What a good idea. Let's go to Dave Ennett in sports.
You know, that's been discussed with the NCAA tournament. There was talk at one time, just let everybody in. You know, people objected to it, John, when they went to the current setup with two wild card teams in each league.
You know, when I was a kid, Dave, there was the National League and there was the American League.
That's right.
And if you wanted to be in the World Series, you had to win the league.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? There was no DH in one league. And you probably only saw one game on TV a week.
We used to throw a rock at a stick. Now, that was baseball.
That's what it was. You know what? I mean, it's something that right now doesn't sound like it's going to feel right. But if they go through with it, and it's not a done deal yet. I have a feeling this was kind of sent out as a trial balloon through the New York Post first, and now everybody's picked up on it. Yeah. But it may be just to kind of take the temperature of reaction.
Will this expand the calendar then?
Well, I suppose it could. And one thing they've said is that they won't have tiebreakers. If remember, the Cubs and Brewers played that tiebreaker a couple of the
playoff,
Cubs and Rockies. You won't have that one game 163 anymore. They'll just go on season series outcome.
Oh, okay.
So on something like that.
Will they be five-game series, do you think?
They will be. No, they'll be. The wild card round will be best two out of three. And the higher-seeded team will have home field for every game. So they won't be traveling back and forth. So it'll be like a three-game series in season. And if you look at that, so they play, assuming they have good weather.
You're open to this idea, aren't you?
I guess I'm resigned to it, because I think, especially if you get the TV networks involved, that's part of it too.
Is it the money? Is that what's driving this? Because were people walking around last year going, boy, I wish we had a longer season or more playoffs? I mean,
well, I think they're asking, the TV deals are coming up, and I think they're looking at this as potentially a way to get more money from the TV partners,
right? Because
for this, and
Lord
give them
knows,
something.
Those leagues don't make any money. I mean, we've got to do something.
Exactly.
Help them out.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think people didn't think the wild card would ever fly in baseball, and it's been a great thing, and it's kept fans involved in a lot of cities late in the season.
Well, you know, if this got the Cubs or Sox in the playoffs one year, I think it was genius.
See?
What a good idea. It's fair. It's appropriate.
Right.
It gets the fans involved. That will be me come some October near you. It's 9:14. Let's head back into the WGN radio. So I guess that'll be our news click. Hey, isn't it a terrible... I'll word it this way. Hey, don't you think it's a terrible idea that they expand the playoffs?
So you're arguably the candidate with the greatest advantage in this race. You've been the vice president. You weren't burdened down by the impeachment trials. So... in the participation. So how do you explain the performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
It's a good question. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
That's a Joe Biden calling a young woman, a college student, who asked him a question and never said that she had been to a caucus. She didn't say anything about it. He then called her a lying dog-faced pony soldier because she said that she had been, but she hadn't. But she didn't say that, Joe. And by the way, Joe, what's a lying dog-faced pony soldier anyway? I love some of these old expressions, right? I mean, there are some put downs and cuss words that you can say on the radio, and sometimes your grandparents use them. Sometimes your grandparents went blue, but I'm wondering if there are any of those out there. You know, and I don't mean just gall dang or gosh darn. I'm looking for more creative ones, and maybe this goes nowhere. Maybe there are none. When we were young, my sister Mary, when she would get really angry and we didn't cuss at our house, Lord knows you wouldn't get away with that with my folks. And it just didn't seem to be an option anyway. But Mary, if she was really mad, would call you a stupid, idiotic, no good, dumbbell, crazy head. If Mary was really mad, she'd pause and call you a stupid, idiotic, no good, dumbbell, crazy head. I don't know if she even remembers that, but I do. It would just come bursting out of her lips, and it was just positively sweet.
Gee, how many times were you called that?
A lot.
Apparently.
Well, because I was a stupid, idiotic, no good, dumbbell, crazy head. But I wasn't a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. Where does that come from? Like, I understood Mary's cuss word. It was a bunch of just, you know, you're a dum-dum, John. But what is a pony soldier? And by the way, Joe, if that is an expression, maybe from your era or your neck of the woods, remember, you're saying this to a young woman who probably doesn't like being called a liar or a dog face.
A texter just said it's from an old John Wayne movie.
You're kidding. Oh, I've got to find that.
I don't know which one, but it sounds like something he would say.
I Googled it, and every time I just got the Joe Biden version of it. I think I'm saying it all. Elif, play just the short version of it. This is the expression that Joe Biden whipped out.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
A lying dog-faced pony soldier. And then everybody kind of chuckled. But his reference was so obtuse, and he got it wrong. She did not lie to him. It was a good question. And he was just playing it for laughs. But this is the problem with Joe Biden. I don't know if he'd be a good president or not, but Joe's just getting weirder by the day. So we'll see how it goes for him today and down the road. But he's not trending real well. He is a she was a lying dog face pony soldier. Yeah, I've not heard that expression before. And I don't know if that's one that you've all kicked around at your place before. Dave, has that come up at the Ennett household? Probably not.
No, I've never actually heard the term.
I think if Wisconsin Dells had an army, it would be pony soldiers.
So say we're going to war with Wisconsin.
The Dells, specifically.
So are the Dells invading us, or are we invading the Dells?
I think we would invade the Dells.
So we've decided to, as a state, invade the Dells.
Yeah, it's water parks and...
And they're defending themselves with dog-faced pony soldiers?
Yes, the first line of defense is pony soldiers.
Okay, Joe, thanks for that. You're down, rather.
No problem.
Dave, you're on WGN. Hi, good morning, Dave.
Good morning, how are you?
Good.
I was watching TV last night, and I forget which show it was, but they had recanted that line from Joe Biden, and he used it several years ago. So and when he was queried on it, he said it was from a John Wayne movie.
Yeah.
But then they researched it, and they could not find that line from any John Wayne movie.
And even if that's your reference, if you're the only person that gets it, you maybe you need a new retort, right?
Exactly.
That's a joke that only he gets. Dave, thanks for the help on that.
No problem.
And apparently there was a 1952 Western called Pony Soldier, but it does not star John Wayne. So, I don't know. This is getting weird.
Well, I like these inventions. Like, if you can come up with something clever that you can say on the radio and makes people chuckle, but it's better, too, I think, if it is a little self-deprecating. If you don't like that question that young lady asked, like, how can you win? I just don't think your starting position should be you're a liar. It should be, yeah, well, I've always been a late... I don't know how... Find some way to reference whatever you want to reference, but don't call the questioner, this nice young lady, a liar. That call just dropped off, huh, Elif? It's 9:25 on WGN. The other thing that is of interest to me, and we'll visit later in the show with Tom Demmer, he is a Republican from Dixon, Illinois. He is on the Rules Committee, and if we are going to now force gas station owners, this is what one Oak Park lawmaker wants to do, to hire 24/7 gas station attendants. Boy, you talk about going back to old sayings. I remember it wasn't that long ago when we were all first allowed to pump gas, and it was kind of cool and kind of scary, and you wondered if you were going to get it wrong and squirt gasoline all over, if there would be fires. How is the payment work? All of that. For a while, you would walk in and give the guy cash or pay with your credit card at the pump. I don't know that many people do that anymore. But a lawmaker in Oak Park wants it to be the law that you have to hire a gas station attendant. And it's not just to create jobs, but it's to put out all of those troublesome gas station fires that we hear about every day. Has anybody here ever heard of a gas station fire where somebody accidentally lit a cigarette and the gas started burning? I just don't recall that happening. We'll talk to somebody on the Rules Committee about that, who, by the way, thinks this is going nowhere, for what it's worth.
I think third-rate gas station attendant is like an obsolete insult, kind of.
You know, not only are you a dog-faced pony soldier, you're a third-rate gas station attendant. Is that how that goes?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. We'll keep them coming. It's 9:26. We'll head into the newsroom in a minute. Hitting all the wrong buttons here today, my friend.
So scary.
That was the sounder for the news, and I guess we don't have to do the news just now. Hey, Dave Ennett, more cities in baseball playoffs mean more revenue in playoffs advertising. Well, I think that's what's driving this. I mean, you've got to be kidding me, of course.
And I think we addressed that. I mean, I think it starts with the TV contract. That's part of it, but also maintaining fan interest in cities where in other years they'd be out of it. In late August and September, and they're still in a race.
Did I hear correctly, says Dave, one of our listeners, that both the Sox and the Cubs games will be TV available only on a pay service, some kind of not regular TV for those of us who don't want to pay for the services? What's the Sox status on TV?
The Sox, all their games except for the network games will be on NBC Sports Chicago.
Which
it's part of basic cable, but it's not from the old three-channel universe or plus four.
But here's the question.
Channel 9.
Are the Sox games free on TV? That's an interesting question because you could argue yes and no on that. I mean, you have to pay for basic cable, and the cost of the Sox games are factored into the basic cable rate, right?
But don't most people kind of have to pay for basic cable? And well, I guess we've got a lot of cord cutters.
Okay, but
you're still paying for something.
But the basic cable service, Mike, Comcast Basic would include the channel that has the Sox games? I think so.
I think it does.
I've got an elevated schedule, so I don't know if it's in the most basic of them.
Same here.
And then the Cubs don't even have a deal with that marquee.
No,
yet.
I happened to be in an Xfinity store last week getting a new modem for my internet, and I asked, hey, by the way, you're going to have this new Cubs network?
Yeah.
And she said, kind of got very grim-faced and looks at me, no, we don't have an agreement, and just went back to typing.
You'll have to talk to my manager. What are you, an undercover reporter? trying to get the skinny on us. Well, listen, we call those people all the time, and they don't have any interest in talking to us. Maybe not, because they're still trying to do the deal. But pitchers and catchers are reporting, yes, and they don't have a deal to broadcast Cubs games locally in Chicago. I guarantee you they're going to get it done. I guarantee you you're going to pay for it. And it's going to be around another $5 a month or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what all the signs are pointing to. And I believe that. And I don't think fans are going to like it. But I also think they're going to pay $5 to watch the Cubs on TV.
What we said in the past is $1,000 might be too high. $300 is too low. Somewhere in the middle might be someplace there could be a compromise.
Okay, but that's a crazy conversation to me still.
Yeah.
You and I are now negotiating how much we're willing to let people steal from us before we do anything about it. That's crazy.
No, it's not crazy, John. We do it every day.
I love the street cafe, I'm on a street team. I love Meryl Streep in the flick, One True Thing. I love traffic, I love the colors, yellow and green. I like talk radio when they talk about things.
It's the editorial page editor from the Sun-Times, whose writing and conversation I always enjoy. He was just explaining to us why their newspaper is endorsing Kim Fox in the primary, and that'll be really the re-election if she wins the primary. And one of the things that Kim Fox is noted for is she said, okay, we're not going to prosecute crimes as felony theft unless it's over $1,000. The threshold used to be $300. And so he and I were sort of debating what we should do with people who steal, say, $500 from you. And in Cook County, you're pretty much going to get away with it. And he said, that's not so crazy. If you steal a candy bar, we don't throw you in jail. If you steal a car, maybe we do. So let's fix the price on that. And he thought it should be higher than 300, and maybe 1,000 is too high, but that was the conversation. But still, you got to get your head around that very conversation. So how much money will we let you steal from us before we really get serious about this? And that's that conversation. I think that's why our news click at WGNradio.com yesterday, which said, how about Kim Fox for state's attorney? 3% of you said good choice. 87% of you said bad choice. And the remainder, 10%, were somewhere in between. Speaking of crimes, I'm looking at a story at CNN.com about Olivia J. Giannulli. That's the daughter of Lori Loughlin and her fashion designer husband. And what they have in the court records now is her application, which includes her athletic resume. She was listed as a champion coxswain. And as a champion coxswain, she was able to get in on the rowing team at USC. It also helped that her parents paid $500,000 in bribes. And none of this is new. But when you just go back and read it, you just go, yeah, this is icky. It's worse than icky. I don't know what it is. It's a little agitating, and it's stupid. I mean, you're paying $500,000 to get into a school that doesn't cost $500,000, whose graduates won't earn $500,000. You have too many $500,000. Her parents, Lori Loughlin and fashion designer Massimo Giannulli, have been charged with three conspiracy counts for allegedly paying $500,000 in bribes to get their two daughters into USC. I think they were doing a special $250,000 per student, so it's only $500,000. Included in a filing that countered Lori Loughlin and Massimo Giannulli's argument that the government is withholding evidence in the case. Prior to the revelations in the scam, Olivia Jade, their daughter, was a social media influencer with over 1 million followers on Instagram and YouTube. Brands that had partnered with her, including Hewlett-Packard and Sephora, distanced themselves from her after the charges were announced. She recently returned to posting on YouTube after a 9-month absence. Prosecutors have not accused either daughter of criminal wrongdoing. Neither daughter is currently enrolled at USC. So, boy, that's $500,000 wasted. And the girls aren't charged because maybe they didn't know. Which is really looking the other way, isn't it? $500,000, and you are listed as a champion coxswainer, and you don't know that? You're not charged? And then they have... So, and then it's not just that. You don't simply just say, well, I was a champion rower, then you build a resume around it. And they list here all of the events that she participated in, all of the medals that she won, all of the teams that she performed on. She was the head of the Lagoon Foster City 2015-2017 team. And in 2017, they took fourth place. She also won the gold medal in 2014 at the San Diego Crew Classic. It's all fiction. Again, I know this isn't news, but when you look at it all typed out, you sort of see the crime unfold before you. I'm not sure what... I don't know what to do with these people. I don't think they need to go to jail. But wow, is this, if nothing else, dumb. The word is spelled C-O-X-S-W-A-I-N. And a couple of texters have said I'm producing it incorrectly. I've seen it a million times, but I don't know how to say it, evidently. I said coxswain. And the fake resume that her parents put together for her to get into USC, the daughters, I'm not sure which of the girls this is. I'm looking at her her resume. Under skill set for that word, I said coxswain. Under skill set, here's what you have. And that's the person I think that says stroke. And I'm sure if you're into rowing, you know it's more than it looks. But that's all it looks like to me. Under skill set, it says awareness, organization, direction, and steering. So maybe.
And I think they like little people too.
And
have to be a small person,
yes.
Petite and strong.
Yes, but I mean, I could do awareness, not today. Organization. Actually, I couldn't do that.
When could you have ever done awareness?
Okay, I'm going to go on to number three then. Direction. I could say, hey, we are going to go over there. And steering. I'm like, well, I think I could steer the boat, whatever you call it, the canoe. Producer Aleph, how do you pronounce C-O-X-S-W-A-I-N, please?
Coxswain.
Do it again?
Coxswain.
Oh. Not Swain. All right. Thanks for the heads up on that.
You also have to know how to swim.
Boy, you
little important.
You would if I was steering. By the way, about Joe Biden saying that that young lady was a pony soldier, a lion, no good pony soldier, whatever it was. A couple of you have said that. So play the soundbite, the long version of this, Aleph. So this is Joe Biden. I know you could say, yeah, but Donald Trump says and does crazy things, too. But I don't know that anybody wants to double down on it. If you're a Republican, you don't want Joe Biden. And if you're a Democrat, you want your version of that. And all I'm talking about is the crazy talk. Here is Joe Biden talk, the longer one, Ella. This is Joe Biden talking to a student at an event in New Hampshire.
So you're arguably the candidate with the greatest advantage in this race. You've been the vice president. You weren't burdened down by the impeachment trials. So how do you explain the performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
It's a good question. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. What's the expression that you tried to get going, Steve Bertrand? There was one you were working on.
Well, there's one that continues to grow. It's I'll say the world.
I'll say the world.
I'll say the world.
And that's used when you want to affirm something.
Exactly. Like, that was an odd thing for Joe Biden to say. I'll say the world.
Yeah. That's your invention, and that's really taken off.
Well, there's a T-shirt.
I'll bet there's not.
No, there is.
I'll say the world.
My son gave me a T-shirt, a very nice one. I'll say the world. He designed the logo for it.
Wow.
I mean, when I say there's a T-shirt, I mean there's really just one.
Boy, that's love. That's love. Your kids are, rather than dismissing dad's nuttiness outright, they're embracing you a little bit. Okay, dad's got his little cute saying.
Couldn't come up with anything else for Christmas last year.
A couple of you have pointed out that when Joe Biden asked that young woman if she had ever been to a caucus, she nodded yes. So while I said Joe got it wrong, maybe at least Joe correctly, you know, deduced that she was not being truthful with him, because her experience sort of betrayed her there. I don't know. I just don't think it's good form to call somebody a liar. And that reference, it's like dotard. it's like, wait a minute, what? That's not an expression we use here. We don't really know what you're talking about when you say that.
You know, I got called on that. It's been a long, long time ago, but it was the race for sheriff. And Jim O'Grady, I think it was. O'Grady was the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know what they're saying about you? They're saying this. And he looked at me and says, who's saying that? I didn't have an answer.
Because oh, yeah.
It's not that I was making it up, but I was being lazy about it. And he called me on it, and you know, it's a big lesson. She probably learned a great lesson if she wants to be a reporter or move on that way.
Oh, you're talking about that young lady?
Yeah.
Well, her question was that people are questioning his candidacy, right?
Yeah, but she implied or said that she wasn't honest with him about that.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I guess so. It sounded to me more like, you know, Donald Trump, when you don't have the specifics, you simply say, a lot of people are saying that.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And so Biden actually said, well, who are those people?
About the legislation, which will never happen in Illinois, but Oak Park lawmaker wants to make it the law that you can't pump your own gas, that a gas station attendant has to. And she says it's a fire safety issue. A couple of you have texted in and told us that at least once, you have had the hose in the nozzle in your gas tank, and you drove off with that.
But they're breakaways now.
Right. Both of you have told me that there was no fire when you did that. I think that's the worst case scenario is you're smoking and then the fumes ignite. But I don't think there's an explosion.
Well, I miss the sound of the tinkling bell when people drove up.
Really, the gas station experience of 1975 was so different than the gas station experience of 2020. Ding, ding, and then a guy would come out. you would roll down the window. My mom would say, I want $5 worth of regular and Merit menthols. And then he would go get her cigarettes. She would give him $5 plus the cost of the cigarettes, and then we would drive off. He would wipe down our windows sometimes. And we knew the guy. He was a regular at that gas station. That was his job. I can't imagine it was paying him much money. But the idea that we would recreate that is crazy talk. I mean, it's... I don't know. Nostalgia is a powerful thing, but that's not what this is.
It's weird that you can't do it in New Jersey. You know, you can't pump your own gas in New Jersey.
A couple of you are telling me that, and that you still pump, you don't pump your gas in New Jersey. And some of you out there tip the gas station attendant. How about that?
Check the oil.
Doug, yeah, right, exactly. But then you're there for like 5 minutes. You know, I think a lot of us, the same way we want to do our own banking, we just want to get it and go. Hey, Doug, you're on WGN Radio. Good morning, Doug.
Yes, sir. Good morning. It's Bosun and Coxon.
Bosun, spelled boatswain.
Boatswain. Coxon is coxswain, whatever.
But what's a boatswain? B-O-T-S-W-A-I-N.
Bosun is like... You know, on the sailing ships, they had an officer that was like the sergeant.
Yeah.
In charge of the crew and stuff.
And how do you pronounce that?
That's called bosun.
Bosun.
And what do you pull up alongside in the city? It's called, it's spelled Q-U-A-Y.
Got me.
Q-U-A-Y. Well, it's not
I would think say that's K. Key.
It's key.
It's
seriously.
Key, yeah.
If you read it, it sounds like, I mean, you think it's quay.
I had to say that word once in a commercial or something, and yes, I had to look it up.
Hey, Doug, I appreciate your help this morning.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
Coxswain. Well, now that's just silly. It's coxswain and boatswain. Bosun. Thank you very much for the help on that. This is Larry. Hey, Larry, you're on WGN Radio. Good morning, Larry. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I graduated in 1957, and I worked in a Texaco station and across the street from where I lived. And what we did was people came up, and you got the gas going in there, and then you check the oil and check the water and then the engine and the radiator, wash the front and back outside window.
Right, check the tire pressure, the whole thing.
Yeah, if they ask for it, not necessarily at the pump, but that's what we did then, and that's when, you know, gas was like 19, 20 cents a gallon, somewhere on there, and McDonald's a couple blocks away was, I think, 25 cents.
For a burger, yeah, sure. Okay, thanks for the phone call. That's the way it used to be, and, you know, Maybe there's a market for a full service station like that, but I don't think it should be the law. Frank says on line four, if safety's an issue, gas station attendants should not be allowed to do more than one car at a time. Now, this idea, this is a bad idea. We continue to learn a lot here on the John Williams Show, inadvertently, I'd say. John, a pony soldier, is a Native American expression for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. It's a derogatory term. So the Indians of Canada would call the Canadian Mounted Police pony soldiers. It was a put-down. I didn't know that. John, I didn't hear if you said this, but sometimes a gas station will have at least 30 pumps. I need to get in and get out. How many attendants are they going to hire? This is stupid. Somewhere this Oak Park lawmaker is just sitting in her car laughing, right? She knows full well this isn't going to happen, but now she's got everybody talking about it. John, how do you pay for gasoline in the cars? I don't want to give the attendant my debit card and tell him my PIN number or her my PIN number. That's a good point. So if they're going to pump the gas, you don't get out, you stay in your car. Think about it. That's
well,
a good question.
Well, I know,
question.
But we are thinking really a lot about it. Here's another thing.
Okay.
Rounding it up so you could pay with your $10 bill. You know,
oh, yeah.
Now
yeah.
That you pay with plastic all the time, you never worry about where it ends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. John, the last time I used a full-service gas station was around the year 2002. I was 22 at the time, and I drove a convertible Mercedes, as I do very well for myself. The gas station attendant said to me, "Glad Mommy and Daddy let you take their car out for a ride," and I said, "No, sir. I bought this myself." He did not seem too happy and rather envious. Oh, well. It's a really big bus. We got room for everybody here. Kathy, you're on WGN. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, and how are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I'm smiling so broadly because it's so different than it used to be. We would be sitting around in the living room when I was a kid watching the end of Maverick on Tuesdays at 6:30. Maverick would end, and Gramp would say, "Okay, let's go get some gas." Everybody would run into his car, and we'd go to the farthest gas station away because we liked the ride. But then we'd go for gas, and we'd know the guys at the gas station, and they'd know Gramp. And they'd talk. Gramp was in his car. They'd be washing the windshield. I mean, it was just so exciting and such a cool event, and it's so clear in my head right now. I can see the gas station, Harlem and Irving. It was, you know, it was just a cool thing. It was an exciting thing to go for gas.
Gosh, that's so funny. I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm recollecting my experience with the gas station attendant too. It was nothing like that, but you're right. This does sort of take us back to a bygone era, and it is kind of sweet, isn't it?
It makes me smile when I think of it because it was the way it was. And we used to go up to our corner from Lawrence and Canfield. There were two gas stations. We knew all the guys in there. We'd take our bike up. They'd fill the bike. We'd sit around and jaw, you know, on the steps in front of the gas station. It's just it was a place. It was a little kind of meeting place, like an old-fashioned hardware store. You know, you go in and you just sit around. Oh, I'm getting all misty-eyed. There you go.
Nice of you to call, Kathy.
Thanks. Bye.
If you were going somewhere big on Sunday, you had to make sure you got your gas on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. To say nothing of your liquor. John, a cigarette does not burn hot enough to ignite the gas. In the movies, when you see someone flip a cigarette to blow up gasoline, it's all but impossible. But a lot of you are frustrated by the way people do pump their gas, and that is they leave the engine running, they get in the car, they smoke outside, they use their cell phone. I have never seen a cell phone spontaneously blow up a gas station, but people are agitated that you do that.
So you're saying if you throw a lit cigarette into a can of gasoline, it's not going to burn?
That's what this texter said, which is good enough for me. An anonymous text has made it safe now.
I'd never heard of that. I mean, I've I had no idea.
John, you can stop the bill to require all full-service gas by everyone, stopping the dangerous practices of engine running while pumping, talking on cell phone while pumping gas, getting back in your car while the gas is pumping. Somebody said, though, that in New Jersey, the guy that pumps your gas in Oregon has this rule, too. And I believe it's Oregon, not Oregon. They smoke. The gas state, the guy that comes out and pumps your gas, he'll be smoking. And everything's fine. That one makes me nervous. The other one that I don't do is I always turn off the car when I pump my gas. A friend of ours didn't do that. And one time Brenda was in the front seat with her, and she went out to get gas and left the car running. And Brenda reaches over and turned the car off. She gets back in the car and looks at Brenda like, what are you doing? And Brenda managed it this way. She said, I thought you forgot. I always turn the car off. But Brenda wasn't going to have it.
Why? Is that a safety issue, or what's the issue there?
Yeah, the engine's running, and then the gas will somehow explode, and everybody will die.
Really?
You run the car while you're pumping your gas?
If it's cold out,
you're
yeah.
not supposed to.
What?
Who says you're not supposed to?
I'll bet you it's written. You know all that stuff you don't read at the gas pump? I'll bet one of them says you got to turn your engine off. That's the law, Steve.
I was told you're supposed to turn it off, too.
My estimated probability of accuracy of that's the law, Steve, 81%.
Okay, so it's 10 below zero,
yes.
And you're going to get out, and you have to do it yourself, because in this state, they won't allow people to hire gas station attendants.
It's a crime.
And so you put your credit card, you put in your zip code, you hit enter, debit, no, choose your gas, put the pump in.
I stay outside the whole time, and my car is off.
And then you go and sit in a cold car?
Well, it doesn't get that cold.
It's not that cold. Yeah, I go sit in the car. I turn the car off, but I go back and sit in it if it's too cold.
It never occurred to me you were supposed to do that. I mean, I don't usually. I almost always have it turned off. I'm sure I do, but it never occurred to me that I was supposed to turn it off.
I'm going
to
double check that because 81% is very high for me. Producer Ellif, will you after this break report back to us? Is it against the law to leave your car running while pumping gas? I'll bet you I get this one. WGN Radio, good morning. I'm John Williams. Appreciate you tuning in. The number to call or text is 312-981-7200. Demetrius Ivory is going to say hi to us in a little bit. We'll at least get you an update on this snow we're supposed to get and some really cold temperatures, but just briefly. And then we'll go back to our crazy warm winter that we're having. Remember, last May and June were terrible, but then the end of the summer and first of fall were really nice. I'm just saying, since Christmas, we've been getting away with it. It has not been cold or snowy or all that bad. It's been gray, and we don't like that, but let's just count our blessings. We have not had a polar vortex. We haven't had a foot of snow. Don't you feel like January, half of February, and a lot of December, we were kind of skating there? Michael Malinowski will join us. His stage name is Mike Machete. We'll talk to him after the news in about 20 minutes. He's that guy that got mugged, stabbed on the L tracks. There's a GoFundMe page for him. If you've got knee pain, I want you to go to the Joint Relief Institute. I've been telling you that for a while now. Joint Relief Institute. It's just funny to me how many people say, yeah, I'm going to go there someday, as though the knee pain that they have really isn't a problem, when it is. If you've got knee pain, not only do you have pain, but it's now keeping you from doing things you want to do, like take walks or dance with your daughter or son at their wedding. I was at the Joint Relief Institute visiting with the very cheerful, very positive professional staff a couple of weeks ago. We went out there and said hi. And they told me the story of a person who had not been on the second floor of their home in years because of their knee pain. This is no way to live. Now, here's their number. They've got two locations. Soon they'll have three, 708-888-0000. They'll put that lubricant in there. I'm telling you, it's a quick, fast, non-surgical procedure your insurance is probably going to pay for. Call this number today, 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. Okay, Producer Ellif, are we doing the weather or are we doing the calls? We are doing the weather. And Demetrius Ivory is over at the weather desk at Channel 9. Hey, Demetrius, it's John Williams.
Hey there. Good to see you. Hear you again.
Yeah, likewise. I got a lot going on here, Demetrius, but I just wanted to slip you in because as much as we've been enjoying warm weather, we're going to have a cold and maybe snowy spell here, huh?
We are. We're expecting for the snowflakes to start flying tomorrow, probably afternoon, probably before the afternoon rush. So, get your playlist ready. Might be a long drive home Wednesday.
And cold, like single digits, right?
Yeah, we're going to see temperatures drop to, I think, around zero. I really think minus one by early Friday morning. But how about wind chills will drop to below zero sometime Thursday afternoon, probably about 6 p.m., and they're not going to climb above zero until Friday afternoon. We could see wind chills as low as minus 15, minus 20. So, you know, that is the type of, that's not polar vortex, but it's still very uncomfortable.
That'll get your attention. That'll keep your car running.
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah, while you pump your gas.
You should not be doing that. We're still looking that up, and we have conflicting versions on this, sources. So
I heard that. I need to find out, because I get upset with people when they leave their car running, too.
Demetrius.
A lot of the cars explode, Steve, almost every day.
Yeah, I do.
The mainstream media doesn't report it, of course.
We don't.
A lot of cars just blow up.
But I don't like attendance. I don't think that. I mean, do you tip them? Then does your price of gas go up now?
According to one lawmaker, gas would go up if we did this a lot. How much snow do you think in this little spell?
So it looks like Wednesday night we'll see about 2 to 4 inches of snow.
Really?
And this is just for O'Hare. I'll get into other areas in a moment, but 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night, then probably another 1 to 2 on Thursday. So that, you know, that's a solid 3 to 6 inches of snow for the whole thing. But there's going to be a good chance for more snow south. So if you live, I'd say, O'Hare and all points north, you're probably going to be on the low side of that 3 to 6, which means, you know, I'd expect 3. But if you live south, like near Midway or south of Midway, actually, you're going to be closer to that 6 and maybe even more as you get into portions of extreme southern Kankakee and Lake and Porter and LaPorte County. So it's going to be heavier snow south.
Weekend, then it warms up, right? I mean, it's this is going to be a short episode.
Yeah, really short-lived thing. You know, we have had the best, you know, in terms of, you know, these storms have been kind of, there hasn't been much of a cold punch behind them. This one has a little one, but it's only going to be around for a day or so. Temperatures, high temperatures Friday into the mid-teens, but then Saturday and Sunday, we're back into the mid to upper 30s. So it melts away very quickly.
Hey, what's the best movie you've seen this year?
Is it 1917? I want to say 1911. Yeah. I don't know why. 1917. Great, 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 great.
That's funny.
Great.
I went to see 1911, and there was nobody there. It wasn't a very good movie.
I think that's a gun.
1917 was your pick, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the Joker, I thought was really good, but you know, I'm a comic book nerd guy, and to me, that seems like a movie that wasn't the Joker. It's just a movie about a guy who just loses his mind, and they decided at the end, make him the Joker. So
they were going to call it John Williams, Demetrius, and they backed off.
Steve, that's so funny. That's why I think I like the movie, because I'm not into the whole Marvel or comic book world, but this sort of descent into madness I thought was done so well by Joaquin Phoenix that it didn't bother me that it might not have lined up with the storyline that you wanted. You know?
Right. I think that one, you know, that was the winning, you know, mixture there to have it where it appealed to folks like you. And folks like me are going to go anyway, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a Joker. We're going to go anyway.
Ka-ching, $1 billion.
There you go.
Nice to hear you, my friend. We'll check in later on if things change, but 3 to 6 in cold for at least a short period of time.
Should be over. The snow will be over by Friday, probably morning, but the cold will linger soon, for much of Friday, actually.
Cinephile Demetrius Ivory, it's always a terrible time to talk to you. Thank you, Demetrius.
Thank you.
There he goes. It's 10:23. Poor Jane, she's been holding for a while. Jane, this is Sean. What can we do for you?
Hi, John.
Hi.
I'm a retired teacher, taught for 38 years, and I taught kids learning to read that sometimes there were silent K's in words and sometimes there were silent G's in words. However, I never knew to teach them about silent W's, like in those nautical terms that you were talking about that I still can't pronounce.
I know.
So sing more. Thank you.
We're learning a lot here today, if by accident, if nothing else. COX.
Sponges that we are.
Amen. Thank you, Jane.
Uh-huh.
Drive safe. COXSWAIN. Looks like Coxswain. That's what Lori Loughlin's daughter allegedly did to get into USC, was reading the criminal report, the court proceedings, some of the papers filed back and forth. And that, we learned today, is pronounced coxswain. And bosun is BOATSWAIN. Byron, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Byron? You are on the air.
Hey, John. I was calling about the gasoline thing. A couple of of comments for you. One is, I ride a motorcycle, and I certainly don't want anybody coming near my fuel tank with a gas pump except me, because they're specialized, and you got to know how much to put in. They don't cut off like they do in cars. And launching from that, you've got jet skis, you've got boaters. And then beyond that is my favorite is the commercial landscapers that we didn't have a long time ago when we had attendants. Now they pull into gas stations, and they've got all this very unique equipment and trimmers and lawnmowers and stuff. And are they going to have to wait to have an attendant pump all this equipment and fill it up? I mean, that's really going to be strange.
Yeah, no kidding.
My last comment is we're seeing the mobile Bucky stations and Thornton stations out in the suburbs and stuff. And if you figure they're 24 hours a day, you're going to need for 10 pumps. Think how many people you're going to need and the cost of insurance that's going to go up for insuring all these extra people as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think she's thought it through. Strangely, she isn't taking our call so far, but maybe she'll join us eventually. Byron,
hey, John.
You have a good day.
Maybe your ex-husband owns gas stations.
Welcome to Illinois. Listen, I think, though, she has at least reminded us that there's a niche for that. Maybe it's a two-pump station, but what about a full-service thing? And guys have spiffy uniforms on that say Joe and Steve on the name tag, and they've got hats, and they do check your oil, and they wipe down your windshield, and they get you your Merit menthol cigarettes, whatever it is that you need. They do all of that right through the window.
I think there are places that still do that for, you know, certain stations.
Maybe so.
It's not automatic, but if you're elderly and you honk or something like that.
I haven't seen a one. I'm not elderly. I haven't honked. But that's, that would be, maybe there's a niche for that. Niche, right? Learning much inadvertently today. That must be the theme. I'll read you two texts before the news because these are awesome. We were talking about how to pronounce Q-U-A-Y-S.
Or just A-Y.
John, the Keys restaurant, spelled Q-U-A-Y-S restaurant in Galway, Ireland, is pronounced Keys. My wife and I spent a good half hour driving around looking for the Keys restaurant while driving on the left side of the road. Each time we passed Q-U-A-Y-S and said, that's not it. This was all before Google Maps.
You know, it's funny. That's where I learned it, too, was in Ireland and Dublin. And they said the building just beyond the key. We're like, well, the key?
And, John, it's not unlawful to keep the car running or to smoke while pumping gas. Read the signs by the pump. It's unlawful to pump gas without an attendant on duty. It's unlawful to pump into unapproved containers. The no smoking or turn off engine are not prefaced with it's unlawful. Police pump gas with the car running. It is not dangerous. If you drop a lit cigarette into a tank of gas, it will put the cigarette out. It will not start a fire. Cell phones do not cause any harm either, in hospitals for that matter. An electrician friend of mine rewired an entire hospital talking to his crew on all floors for a solid year. And guess what? Planes can also land and take off with cell phones in use. It's people on a power trip. Isn't it nice to have Illini basketball relevant again?
Yes, in football too.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding, now that you mention it. Lovey had a nice, he had the win of the decade there. I mean, that win over Wisconsin, that's the one I'm thinking of, right? Wisconsin was
a top five
team, and Illinois beat him. Who knew? And they won some games that folks didn't think they'd win. Boy, if Illinois, because we can't count on Chicago teams. We can't count on Evanston teams. But it'd be nice if our other Big Ten team in the state would play up to Big Ten standards. That'd be fun.
Well, it's too bad about DePaul, too, because it looked like they were really going to do something.
DePaul was 13-1, I think it was, before they lost. Think about this. Lowly DePaul beat Texas Tech, which was in the national championship game last year and lost. They beat Minnesota, Big Ten team. They beat Iowa, Big Ten team. Did they beat Northwestern? They beat Butler, which at the time was ranked number 6, I think, in the country. They beat, wasn't Boston College, was a core. They beat a team out east. They beat like 6 power conference teams this year, and a couple of them ranked. And then they go to the Big East conference.
One game, right?
And the only win they have is against one of the best teams in the conference this year, which is Butler. Butler lost the other day to
Well, I see Butler's still ranked, so that's good. They're 18.
The Golden Eagles of Marquette, which is in Green Bay. It's a little school.
Looks like Butler stayed even in the rankings at 19.
They did. Here's how good that conference is, the Big East this year. Five of the top 25 teams in America are in that conference.
I didn't finish my sentence. Marquette jumped nine spots to be just ahead of them at 17th.
And when Butler lost to Steve Bertrand's Marquette out of Milwaukee, they didn't go down in the rankings because it was just assumed that, well, that's how tough that conference is. At the time, Marquette wasn't even ranked.
Right.
Now they're ranked just ahead of them at, what did you say, 16?
17.
17. So congratulations to them.
No, it was good. And you were eating Swedish meatballs or something at the time? What were you doing?
It's none of your business what I was doing. I just, you and Lou Manfredini were trying to gin up a three-way chat during the game.
We'd like to have a text chat during the big games.
Lou so does not get it. I looked at Brendan, my phone dings, and she goes, here it goes. And I said, I'm not talking to these guys during the game.
It's so much fun. And I left you alone. We both left you
alone. You did, and actually Lou did too, yeah. Which I was really super proud of him. I'll bet Mary Beth made him do that. Hi, John. It says here, I live in and listen to you in Oregon, the state. I moved here from Illinois last year. I may be gone from Illinois, but it's not pronounced like gone. It would be gun, Oregon. Also, when we drive our cars to the attendants to pump gas here in this state, we don't have to give them a PIN or identification information. But also, the wait lines can be terrible. It's nice not to have to stand out in the rain, or in the Illinois case, 15 to 20 degrees, say, but you sometimes have to wait for someone to pump your gas. Good point. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. But I'm so by the book. I turn off the car. I don't lock the door, but I turn off the car. I don't smoke anyway, but I mean, you know, I get my gas going. I don't get back in the car. I always stay out in the cold and sort of safeguard the pump there to make sure everything's okay. And then when I get back in the car, I have this sort of OCD thing where I check and then double check again because I want to make sure I haven't left the... I've never done this before, but that's a nightmare that you would drive away with the nozzle still in your tank.
So you wouldn't go inside to buy a Diet Coke or anything like that, a lottery ticket or...
Right. I have, but that's really rare. And my biggest complaint is, like, we will drive to Indianapolis a lot, and just before we get on the highway, there's one of these big gas stations, mm-hmm. with, you know, 100 pumps, and they've got a KFC in there and snacks and showers and stuff. And so people will go there and they'll be doing all kinds of business there, which is fine, but they leave their car parked at the pump, and that car will sometimes sit there for 20 minutes while they go do whatever the heck that is they're doing in there.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That makes me nuts.
But they have nice showers at those drive-ins.
Yeah, I suppose if you were a truck driver, you would know and you would appreciate that. I'm happy for you.
You're in there and it goes, shower 19 is now open. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, for those big trucks. I think they're Love's truck stops.
I don't know that, but that's true. I've never seen that. By the way, Elif, are we going to have this busker dude on? Okay. I know that he's not real well, so maybe he won't be able to join us today. You know, let's just go here for just a second. We were talking about Joe Biden's expression to a young woman in New Hampshire, and he used a phrase that we're not familiar with. Just give us the short version of the phrase, Elif.
You're a lion, dog-faced pony soldier.
And I guess a lion, dog-faced pony soldier, there's a history to that. It might have been in a John Wayne or a Tyrone Powers movie. Somehow Joe Biden had it in his head that that was a funny thing to say. And he said it to this young woman. I don't know if it was bad form or not. I think it was, but it just is a reminder that Joe is a little obtuse these days. The older he gets, the quirkier he gets. Sometimes he'll say things and you go, oh boy, that I'm not so sure what that even means, Joe. And there's just more and more of that these days. Now, you could say it about the current president as well, but I'm just talking about Joe Biden. And I think the older he gets and the longer he runs, the more instances he has where you think that was weird. And it's okay in your vice president, right? Because Barack was very tethered. And if Joe is off being crazy Joe, that was okay. But is that the guy that, A, you want to be president, or B, you think can beat the incumbent? That's the way that conversation goes. Now, all the attention today is in New Hampshire. And after the last debate, Amy Klobuchar said something that made $3 million for her in about 36 hours. It was her closing speech. I want to play what Amy says. I don't know where this debate took place. Did it take place in New Hampshire? And then I'll play for you what Donald Trump said in New Hampshire. But this is Amy Klobuchar, the Minnesota senator whose stock continues to rise. If there's five of them, maybe six right now, if you include Bloomberg, she's one of them. And that's kind of a surprise because folks really don't know who Amy Klobuchar is. So she said this at the end of the debate.
There's an old story of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And when he died, his body was put on a train and went up across America. And there was a guy standing by those tracks along with so many Americans. And he had his hat on his chest and he was sobbing. And a reporter said, "Sir, did you know the president?" And the guy says, "No, I didn't know the president, but he knew me. He knew me." And I will tell you this, there is a complete lack of empathy in this guy in the White House right now. And I will bring that to you. If you have trouble stretching your paycheck to pay for that rent, I know you and I will fight for you. If you have trouble deciding if you're going to pay for your child care or your long-term care, I know you and I will fight for you. If you have trouble figuring out if you're going to fill your refrigerator or fill your prescription drug, I know you and I will fight for you. I do not have the biggest name up on this stage. I don't have the biggest bank account. I'm not a political newcomer with no record, but I have a record of fighting for people.
So that's how Amy Klobuchar closes out her speech. Now, don't think Donald Trump hearing that thought, oh boy, I ought to try and be more empathetic. People that like him, and whatever it is he got, he's going to continue to do. So his campaign is to disrupt these caucuses and primaries, even as they're trying to get off the ground. So this is Trump just being Trump in New Hampshire.
You have crossovers in primaries, don't you? So I hear a lot of Republicans tomorrow will vote for the weakest candidate possible of the Democrats. Does that make sense? You people wouldn't do that. My only problem is I'm trying to figure out who is their weakest candidate. I think they're all weak, one another. We proudly welcome and embrace voters of all parties and political persuasions who want to join our mission, a very simple mission. Remember, make America great again.
That's Trump's campaign working its way through New Hampshire. I don't know if you've been doing this, but am I the only one to notice the smell of marijuana in the air more these days? I'm not complaining at all. Sometimes it is pretty intense, but I think it's like everywhere. And now I'm not sure if it's not the equivalent of the phantom vibration that you would get when you first had a smartphone that vibrated and you were so attached to it that sometimes when it wasn't even in your pocket, you'd still feel the vibration on your thigh or in your breast if you wore it up there. And I don't feel that so much anymore, but for a while, I think a lot of us were going through that, the phantom vibrations of phones. And I think I'm going through that now with marijuana. Literally, the other day, Brenda and I were coming back into Chicago from Michigan. We're coming up Lakeshore Drive. And as we get near the harbor, I go, I can smell the marijuana like a fog over the city.
Did Brenda just light up a bowl?
She did not. She had previously. No, so and I know that's absurd because I wasn't thinking about it. And it's not in my car. There's not a marijuana haze over the city. But it is out there a little bit more. And that's not the only place that I've been picking up the whiff of it. I thought about you yesterday, Steve, as the number of coronavirus deaths and illnesses increase worldwide.
Right.
There was another story of a ship and the passengers are being held in their rooms to try and protect everybody. And I know that's affecting that segment of the travel industry, but I'll bet it's not affecting people who do the bus tours so much. They must feel a little safer. And you have a bus tour with Dave Ennett coming up, right?
Yeah, Dave and Karen are going to lead a group of WGN listeners. In fact, I don't know if he told you, he had dinner with last weekend with a couple that he met on one of the trips.
Oh, no kidding.
Because, you know, you just kind of make new friends on these trips. But, yeah, he and Karen are going to lead a group to Scotland June 8th. It's a 10-day trip, and you'll do Edinburgh. You've been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
St. Andrews, Glasgow. You'll be ride a boat on the Loch Ness, and plenty of time to have some haggis. In various forms.
You're trying to sell the trip, Steve. Don't tell the people about the haggis.
Haggis is a very exciting thing. You go up to the Isle of Skye as well.
That's what it is. Haggis is an exciting thing.
It is. It's one of the things when you're there.
You do.
You have to try.
Yeah. But when you come to Chicago, you try a deep dish pizza and you go, wow, that was really terrific. You try haggis and you say, okay, I've done that.
I went with a buddy to Scotland. He came back hunting down haggis to try to find it here to eat.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it lasted very long. It was a momentary fling, but yeah. So, yeah, if you want to go with Karen and Dave and it, they leave June 8th, and there's information at Steve at Steve Bertrand, or at SteveBertrandTravel.com, or just call me 847-606-6065. A lot of castles, a lot of things like that. So there's some nature and great. I mean, Edinburgh is just. Is just a world-class city, and you got to see it.
Among the texts to the show, hey, John, my son graduated from Marquette a year ago, but my daughter is a sophomore at Butler. I love your basketball talk with Steve Bertrand about Marquette and Butler. I do not.
Butler has been a better team for several years. Well, for a couple years.
John, liquid gasoline is not combustible, but its fumes are flammable. Another texter said that a lit cigarette in a can of gas, it will light up. If you do the same with a can of diesel, it will go out. Well, nobody's recommending that you do that anyway. But enough of you were talking about how we pump our cars full of gas these days, because a lawmaker in Oak Park says we should have gas station attendants. And I pointed out that in New Jersey, I'm hearing, sometimes the gas station attendants smoke. The fumes combustible. The liquid is not so combustible. Some of you say, others of you disagree. Either way, let's keep the cigarettes away from the gasoline. Good idea? Good idea. God, one time my dad, the leaves were damp. We'd raked them all into a pile there in Joliet, and they were sort of damp, and the leaves wouldn't light. They wouldn't light. So Dad went into the garage, and he got some gasoline, and he just put a little cup of it, kind of sprinkled it around gingerly along the leaves to kind of get it going.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he's no dummy, he took that can of gas, and he walked it back and put it way back over by the garage. Then he went back to where the leaves were, and he struck a match to light the leaves. Well, by that time, enough of the gas had, you know, evaporated, and whoom! It
really?
Just was a fireball, yeah. Yeah. That was, and it kind of, it singed his eyebrows, which, you know, so just, we're all learning all kinds of things today. Hey, George, you're on WGN Radio. Hello.
Hello. How you doing, guy?
What's on your mind?
All right. I work security at one of the casinos. I work at the main turnstiles for 8 hours.
Yeah.
By the end of our shift, my partner and I feel like we are higher than a kite from all these people coming in now that have been smoking.
George, that's funny because I'm not the only one then that just in all kinds of places. And I'm telling you, the other day I was describing a scene where we were driving north into the city. The other day we were coming south into the city and it was the same thing. And I know that's just my imagination, but I smell it on the street. I smell it on people. I'm not criticizing or complaining, but boy, have we taken up pot in this town.
Exactly. That's what I mean. You know, and I understand and I agree with you. You can't criticize them. I mean, we don't say anybody that comes in smells like a brewery.
Or
you know.
Cigarette smoke, because that's
exactly.
Really the equivalent,
exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah, but boy, I tell you, we just stand there and we look at people and go, holy smokes.
Well, George, that's people coming out of the casino?
No, coming in.
Coming in. So they've toked up in the car or the parking lot or at home or whatever, huh?
Exactly. There is no smoking. We have a smoker's club, a quote-unquote smoker's club, but if you're in the casino playing, you cannot smoke.
I wonder if people coming in just a little toasted like that will be good for the casino because they'll be, you know, in a better mood. They'll have more fun.
I hope so. I seriously hope so. So, you know, I mean, it hasn't been going on that long yet, but we definitely notice when someone's been having a good time, so to speak.
You sound like you're there right now, George.
No, I'm at home. I'm at home. Oh, if I was there right now, you'd hear a lot more background noise in this, let me tell you.
Sounds like I hear a slot machine or a video game in the background.
No, that's my chimes. I got a clock. The chimes. old-fashioned guy.
Hey, amen to that. Hey, George, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
You got it, bud.
Have a good day. John, I tried the... I'm tired of the smell of marijuana. I hate it. It bothers me a lot. I recognize it. I don't especially like it. I'm just telling you how much I notice it these days. Mary, do you pick it up? You're not walking around downtown as much as I am, though.
No, I don't at all in the suburbs.
Yeah, you're not smelling it like I do in the city, huh?
No, I smell it on people, though.
Yeah, I do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Lakeview, and it's a younger crowd, and there's a lot of bars near me, and I'm three blocks from Wrigley Field, you know, that neighborhood. And so it just seems like I pick it up in a lot of different places. But it's crazy because driving in my car into the city, I'm smelling it like it's coming through the vents in my car. And I know that's just me imagining it, but I really...
a little crazy.
And for what it's worth, Brenda smells it too.
Well,
so I don't know what that was.
I smell once in a while like in an Uber or something.
Yeah, kidding. Mm-hmm. And you don't want your Uber driver... somebody sent us a picture of the warning sign from a gas station. It says, danger, extremely flammable. There is a picture of a cigarette with the red line through it. There's a picture of a key with a red line through it. It says, no smoking. And it says, turn off engine, comma, Steve. Use as motor fuel only. And then there's a whole bunch of other things
here.
Yeah,
it's all new to me.
I can't believe that you're feigning that you're hearing this for the first time.
I had no idea you were supposed to turn your car off. I still don't quite get it.
Here's the separator. This is the difference between dads and moms. Dads would leave the kids in the car if they were in a car seat if they had to run in and get a soda or cigarettes or pay. Moms don't do that. I would leave my boys in the car. I would lock the doors if I had to run into the place, if it's a cold or rainy day. Brenda was aghast that I would do that and made me promise that I would never do that again.
That's against the law. That is against the law.
That is against the law?
Leaving your kids in the car?
Sure.
If it's over a certain number of minutes?
Well, I didn't take a shower. I just went in there to do something really fast. And they were always line of sight, right? So I was always able to see the car and the kids in the car.
I talked to the senator who passed that bill. It was John Cullerton years ago.
How about that?
And my son would only sleep if I drove him around.
Yeah.
And so then I would drive him around. And if I was lucky, I'd get into my driveway, park the car, get out without him waking up. He was right outside. I could see the van outside, or whatever it was outside the window. That was against the law. For my son to be in the car alone, sleeping in my own driveway.
In your own driveway?
Yeah.
Let alone at a gas station?
Correct.
Or a convenience store or something like that. Doors locked, engines off, I have the key, I'm 30 feet away from them, that's completely safe. That's the nanny state, if you ask me.
But making you turn your car off is not? What's the... Tell me, really, I don't know the danger of it, of the car being on. It can't be at risk of fire.
Maybe
is it that it'll roll away?
Well, yeah, maybe that it will accidentally
slip into gear.
Because there's a lot of that.
Cars, we see that all the time.
Slipping into gear, and then there's a horrible fire, and the whole town blows up.
People randomly run over by cars that slipped into gear.
Thank God we've got people in Springfield worried about that.
Exactly.
And not the pension debt. This is John Williams. You know, I mentioned a little while ago that it's kind of amazing to me how much I smell marijuana throughout the city now. Even in my car as I'm driving down the road. Maybe that's imagined, but there it is. I know I smell it on people and in places. Am I crazy? 847 said, I was in Denver last summer, and the smell of weed in the downtown area was overwhelming. It was unpleasant. 219, John, I drive home on the Dan Ryan, and I smell it every night. You are not crazy. Another texter said, I'm a realtor, and I smelled it in the house I showed yesterday. It was a beautiful house. But I don't think that helps. I don't think that helps you sell the home. And one last note about what Steve Bertrand and I were talking about. Steve leads all sorts of travels around the world. SteveBertrandTravel.com. Dave Ennis is taking folks to Scotland in the fall.
June.
And
best time to go.
We're trying to put our finger on what exactly the experience of eating haggis is like.
Mm-hmm.
And we settled on exciting. 219 said, I was married to an old haggis once, and it was an exciting experience.
Was she deep fried? Because you can get it deep fried.
Please excuse the talk to text. So here's that Chicago Tribune story. I'll just read this version of it. Mike Malinowski, known as Machete Mike to writers on the Red Line, where he regularly plays guitar, had just been stabbed by a woman angry his music was giving her a headache. Now she was tossing his guitar onto the tracks at the Jackson stop. I was bleeding out everywhere, Malinowski said. I just lit a cigarette and I sat on the bench and I watched her destroy my stuff. The woman, Barbara Johnson, was quickly arrested for at least the 43rd time in her life. It's one thing to get beat up or robbed, but at this point I feel like I got robbed in the worst way, he said. She essentially destroyed my arm, and that's my livelihood. That's the whole reason I even have a career. He's got a new EP coming out soon, and there's a GoFundMe page to help him raise money for his medical expenses, and for that matter, to get his musical equipment back together. His new EP will be titled Stations Creation, released sometime soon. Like his first EP, Tales of the Tunnels, it will feature music he wrote while working in the subway. That's in the Tribune. He's known as Machete Mike, and he's on line one. Hey, Mike, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
Oh, man. Well, this story right now, the MRF killed me. The other day, I tried playing a bit at night by myself, just sitting at home, and it hurt, and then it just turned out it just hurt more the next day, just trying to push myself.
She stabbed you in the arm, in the arm that you strum the guitar with?
No, it's the hand I fret with, or the arm.
How many stitches did it require?
You know, the hospital didn't even stitch me. They told me it was such a deep and wide cut that they said it'd be best if I just left. They left it open. If they stitched me, say if I got infected, they told me they would just have to stab me again, just to open the damn thing and clean it out.
That's weird. Well, I guess they know what they're doing. So you've just got a big bandage around there?
And it's a big, just a huge wrap with some gauze I got to clean every day. Rechange, and it's pretty annoying. And actually, I think something about the way I was laying last night, I must have laid in a silly way. Hurting myself. I don't know.
Pretty sore right now, huh?
It's becoming a little annoying dealing with this thing. I'm just trying to get used to this whole one arm thing. Sometimes, you know, I forget and try to reach for something.
And then you remember. So just walk me through that, Mike. Did you see her coming at all? Were you leery of her? Was she kind of hanging around and you thought, I got to watch out for this?
No, I did not see this coming. The thing was, before this all happened, I was just sitting there playing, obviously, and it was a small platform of people. And, you know, I'm used to seeing strangers I've never seen before. It's just, you know, computers, things like this. And so I didn't think nothing of it. I've never met this woman in my life. She just walked up and unplugged me. And we had to argue. And the first thing that happened was she tried to push me in front of a train, which was, that's when I realized, or when I realized I should be scared. She unplugged me. And then, try to push me in front of a train, and I somehow, by the grace of God, didn't fall in front of a train or on the train tracks.
Yeah, right. That third rail will get you too. So then, and I mean, she's just a mentally not well person. She's a criminal. She's a chronic criminal, and it sounds like she's just crazy. So then, after she tries to push you on the tracks, then did you continue to play? And then that's when she stabbed you?
Well, no, after that, once I caught my footing, I see she was going for my amp, so I went toward her, and, you know, meet her into the press one a bit, and she pulled my hair and whatnot, and, you know, eventually I had to, you know, I didn't want to hit this person. It took me a while before I actually, you know, I had to defend myself at one point, and I had hit her a couple times, and eventually got away from her for a second, and I slipped away from her, and I didn't even realize this moment, like, that there's this whole time on the floor where we're rolling around wrestling and just trying to get her off of me. And never did I realize there was a huge pocket, or not a pocket knife, a huge kitchen knife in her pocket. And, you know, so it's kind of interesting. Even during all this wrestling, everything going on, no one got stabbed from this, you know, because who wants to have a huge kitchen knife in their pocket? And then once I get away from her for a second, I turn around, because I had my back face toward her. So the moment I turned, she stabbed me, and I guess I'm lucky I turned when I did. And then knife went, like, directly in my back. And then when I turned, she got me right in my arm.
This is down below. Were you on a platform up, or were you below ground?
It was below ground. It was in the actual, it was the subway. It was on Jackson and State, Jackson Red Line.
Yeah, I take the Red Line, but I usually get up before then. Where relative to the city is that? Is that South Loop? Is that like south of McCormick Place? Where are you if you're at Jackson?
That's north of McCormick Place. It's between there is... Oh, it's the main loop, I'd say. I wouldn't call it. Definitely not west. It's as far east, I'd say.
Well, Ella and I, my producer and I, get off at Lake, so it'd be after Lake. But one more stop, Ella? Ella says it's the
stops.
Next stop.
Two more stops. Yes.
Okay, so
you can actually look down. You can actually look down the tunnel and see those stations, if the trains at that station. So it's like we're talking two stops.
What time did this happen, Mike?
I'd say about 1:30 is when it all happened. 1:45. Yeah, right in the middle of the day.
But usually those are pretty crowded stops. Were there other people? Were they helping you? What was going on with everybody else?
There was actually, believe it or not, because the tune I was playing at that moment was, I had this rendition of it when it was hit today. Like, I almost call it R&B or hip-hop. There's a tune, you ever heard of the Running Man Challenge?
No, Burning Man Challenge? I've heard of Burning Man.
No, Running Man. Running Man Challenge. There was a song, maybe, I'd say, about a year or two ago, all the kids were dancing to. It was like, at night, I think of you. That's like the hook of the tune.
Yeah.
It was pretty popular for it, but I occasionally play it on the train. And when I play it, usually people start dancing. But yeah, right before all this happened, there was at least like 8 to 10 people doing the Running Man right in front of me. Dancing, it was kind of funny because people were sitting there doing the Running Man. I'm sitting there playing, people doing the Running Man.
Did they come to your aid? Did they help you?
Yeah, no. Nobody really jumped in right away. No one tried to stop her. It's like, you know, there was at one point, I felt it was interesting timing because, you know, people were trying to say things, but I didn't feel like anyone was jumping in and actually trying to pull her off me. Nobody, it's like, when she tried to push me for a train, no one in there tried to help me. But what I did notice is when people actually, once I started defending myself, I did remember people yelling and saying, please, she's a woman, stop. But I remember thinking to myself, like, are these people crazy? Am I crazy? Or this lady just trying to kill me, and I'm a bad guy for defending myself.
And she's throwing your guitar and amps onto the train tracks, onto the red line.
But that didn't happen until after she stabbed me. The reason she hasn't broken my amp or guitar yet is because I got there and was trying to wrestle her away from there. But she definitely was. After you know, she tried to push me before the train, she definitely was going for my gear. And I was trying to stop her, but eventually once I, you know, defended myself a little bit, then she actually stabbed me. Then I kind of just backpedaled away. I said, man, I'm good.
Right. Yeah, you have all the gear you want, lady. It's not worth it.
It was like the fight or flight, you know, scenario. I felt like I did enough fighting at that point. So.
Mike Malinowski's on a phone line. This young man was playing his guitar not that long ago on the Red Line stop at Jackson and State, downtown Chicago, middle of the afternoon, and a woman attacks him. She said she didn't like his music, and it was bothering her, so she stabbed him and destroyed his gear. There's a GoFundMe to help raise money for you. How much money has that generated? Do you know, Mike?
I can't say I know yet, because I haven't even... my sister did it. Last time I checked, she told me it was about a little over $5,000. And I was just like, good Lord, I can't believe that people actually donated this much to this thing. I was like, wow. Like, I'd be able to handle this. I'd be able to pay off this medical stuff in no time. Especially if I try to apply for what it's called, Medicare, Medicaid. And so everything goes through, it'll make it easier. But I don't know if I'm going to, like, I don't know if it's going to go through. So I'll see you.
Answer me this, Mike. So it said you described your career. You described playing the guitar on the L and I guess elsewhere as a career. How much money do you make with your guitar case open there and people dropping coins in? If you're playing for an afternoon, how much money would you make?
I mean, a typical day from the scenario or my system I use and play. I say a bad day for me would be like $100. A normal day playing. It's like if I didn't make at least $100-$150 a day going on there playing, I'd might as well have been flipping burgers somewhere.
what's a good day? How much have you made?
Oh man, sky's the limit. I mean, I'd say the most I ever made probably in one day. It's like shoot, probably like say one of those big event days, like say a lot of Palooza
right,
in town, or
right.
Or say something's in town, like the Taste of Chicago, or I know occasionally every now and then I like to look at who's playing at the, because I like to play at the State of the Lake. Red Line as well,
yeah,
and that's right under Chicago Theater. So I typically like to check and see who's playing there.
That's a good idea.
And if there's a certain band or a certain crowd of people, I try to see if I could play something like it or something that would be at least enjoyed in that realm.
And so maybe instead of $100, $500, something like that.
I'd say that my record was a little over $300 something. It was like $350-something in one day, but that's also we're talking like 8 hours of playing though. If you think about it, come on.
Is it, I've wondered about you guys though, because at the State Lake Station, there's usually a lot of times there's a guy who just plays the bass, and he's got track music, and sometimes vocalists that play with him or perform with him.
Malik. I know the guy very well.
He's pretty good. I mean, some of the guys around town and gals are actually pretty talented, but it's legal for you to do it. You don't pay a fee for that. And do you guys just stake out your turf? I mean, how does that go?
It's actually, the play at that State and Lake station is illegal. We're actually not allowed to play that station. They try to ticket us and run us off all the time. But, us regulars, like, say, Malik or myself or any other guys, like, say, the Remedy, we end up going back anyway. It's the best station to play in the city, we say. And
it's got a great reverb. It's got a great echo down there,
Great sound down there. And it's also one of the most crowded stations in the city. It's some of the, one of the best spots. And other than that, upstairs is great, too, but... during these times of the year, it's freezing or it's getting pretty cold. You don't really want to be outside playing, so you find yourself in the tunnel.
Yeah.
You got to have a permit to play down there. It's a $10 permit per year.
And $10?
I think it actually went up recently, but not by a lot.
Okay, but so Mike. It is legal with the permit, but illegal without a permit. Is that it?
Technically. But the thing is, to make it legal, there's only three stations we're allowed to play.
Oh.
It's Jackson Red, Jackson Blue, and then Washington on the Blue Line.
Oh.
But it's kind of ridiculous because there's so many other stations that seem to be perfectly, it would make sense if people could play them, and I don't know why Chicago won't let us play at these stations, even though we go there anyway and try to get away with it for a while until we get in trouble for it, but they don't let us play at the nicer stations, so we don't have to hang out in certain stations like Jackson, where people are getting stabbed.
That's weird, because if you said, I know there have been problems on the Red Line. We're talking about it on this radio show a lot, Mike, so you know, and what are we going to do about that? But that, that's not a bad area. I mean, it's a crowded area. It's a busy area. That's what you want for safety, and it's downtown. It's not some far-flung place that, the police or people aren't and you feel vulnerable. I would gamble on playing there for safety's sake. The lady said she didn't like your music. Now, the music that I hear a lot of times is jazz or blues. Yours is rock, is more rock, right?
Not exactly. When I mean, I'm into a lot of my own personal stuff. There's a lot of like hard rock, heavy metal, or 80s shred kind of stuff, typically. But no, it's not. I wouldn't even say that. With the moment when she was going to do all that, when she was unplugging my stuff, I wasn't even playing rock. I was playing, I don't know, some kind of like R. I don't even call it R&B, hip hop. Like, I don't. It wasn't really even. It wasn't even my tune. It was a. What do you call it? A rendition of something I have. And it's, I would say, I don't know, I try to, you know, try to stay versatile or, you know, try to get all around kind of sound going on. But typically, yeah, I'd say in my experience, I like a lot of hard rock, heavy metal, but if you don't play blues, jazz, country and classical, you're kind of in the wrong business.
Well, that's right. I mean, if you're busking, if you want people to throw coins in there, you've got to play to the crowd. I'm out of time. If folks want to donate to your GoFundMe page, I guess just search Malinowski or Machete Mike.
I think it's closed by now. I actually asked my sister to take it down a couple of days ago. If she left it open, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I'll probably see you at State Lake sometime soon. Heal, get well. Good luck to you. And, thanks for telling us your story. If there's anything we can do for you down the road, when the next EP drops, let us know, okay?
Yeah, well, it's definitely, man. It's Spacious Creation is coming out pretty soon, and I got Tales of the Tunnels already out there and ready.
Okay, man. Mike, stay well. We appreciate your time.
God bless you.
Predictably, after our conversation with Machete Mike, hey, John, does he pay taxes? And 708 says now the IRS is going to be calling him.
What about his pension, John?
It's a story about a guy that got attacked playing music on the L. That's what that is a conversation about. By the way, Elif says, our producer, that the GoFundMe page is still open. It has $6,500 in it if you just search Chicago's Machete Mike. I asked him about the music he plays. Here's a little of what he plays. This is a song called Lightning from his Tales of the Tunnels EP. That would annoy me, too, but I wouldn't stab him and throw his gear on the tracks. It's 11:31.
It is 33 degrees at O'Hare. Good morning. I'm Steve Bertrand. The news is sponsored by Green Tree Services. A 25-year-old man mauled to death by a pit bull. First, a look at traffic in Traffic Central. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
Edens looks good. The outbound side of the Kennedy, some delays into Cumberland. Inbound is slow from North Avenue. There's some road work on the outbound side of the Eisenhower into Des Plaines. And heading inbound, watch for a stall at the post office in the center lane, about 32 in from 390 20 for Mannheim. Stevenson in good shape now. Some road work, though, on the Ryan heading in between 35th and 31st. And a stall on the Tri-State northbound at Route 173 in the center lane. Mayor Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, partly sunny today, windy at times, a high in the mid-30s, 23 the low tonight, early sun tomorrow followed by clouds and then snow coming in the afternoon or evening, and a high of 36. We are expecting some accumulating snow overnight on Wednesday. Right now at O'Hare, it is 33 degrees. A dozen cases connected to corrupt ex-Chicago Police Sergeant Ronald Watts were thrown out of Cook County Court today. Seven of the men were in the courtroom to see their convictions tossed. The Tribune says a 25-year-old man who was one of four people attacked by a pit bull this weekend in a Plainfield home has died. The dog was put down on the scene. And the Justice Department is backing away from its sentencing recommendation of 7 to 9 years in prison for Trump confidant Roger Stone. The official says there had been no contact with the White House over the decision, though the president tweeted early today about it, calling it a very horrible and unfair situation. WGN Sports, Blackhawks are in Edmonton tonight. The pregame at 7:30, face-off at 8. That's right here on 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. The Bulls on the road at Washington. Your money on WGN. The Dow is currently in positive territory, up 36 points. The NASDAQ up more, 51. And the S&P 500 up 14. I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve, CNN has a scroll about the election and the campaign spending of some of the candidates.
Yeah?
How much money has Michael Bloomberg spent on his presidential campaign?
I'm going to say $100 million.
Higher! Higher!
Really? How high?
$350 wow. million. Dollars. He has spent $100 million, more than a quarter of $1 billion, advertising a campaign that's not that old and may not win. That's having a lot of money.
That's wow. having a lot of money, but it is having an impact, too. I mean, he is rising in the polls. He's
yeah,
at, what,
he is.
9 or 10% now. He has really had an impact on Joe Biden in South Carolina. So it's working.
Crazy days. $350 million. When I get to be king, you can't spend $350 million of your money, of anybody's money. And by the way, companies won't be able to donate as much money as they can to a presidential campaign. Companies are people now, I know, and they get to give a lot of money.
Well,
but I'm going to limit the spending.
Well, sure, because you're going to be the king, and you're not going to want anyone to knock you out of being the king.
What do we need, a contender? No, I just,
right.
I don't
No
think...
money for you.
Listen to this about the red line. John, my son was approached on the brown line near Sedgwick Station. It says Sedgwick. Is it Sedgwick or Sedgwick?
Sedgwick.
Sedgwick. By a woman with a knife. She said she was going to cut his face. He pushed her and went to another car. Middle of the day. No one helped him. Wonder if it was the same lady that attacked Machete Mike.
Wow.
She was put in a psych. She was put in psych for the weekend that time, and that was it. I don't know how this texter knows that, but whatever. I've done that before. Somebody gets on the train. I don't like the look of this, and I just get off at the next stop and get on the next car.
I was on a CTA bus one time, and this guy across, we were like sitting facing the middle of the bus, and this guy across me looked at me and had an absolute look of horror, like he had seen his dead father or something,
yeah.
looking at me.
Yeah.
And he bolted off the bus.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing that's ever happened.
You must have reminded him of somebody or something.
I don't know, but it just was like, I mean, it was like a horror movie look.
Had you showered that day?
Not that day.
King John, while we are on the topic, we might as well remind people that it's now a ticketable offense to be smoking in the car with minors. We've been talking about what you can and can't do at a gas station, like pump your own gas, or should we have a law that says attendants need to pump the gas? We've been talking about the various laws around those places. Can you smoke while you are at the gas station pumping your gas? Is that advisable, or just, you know, they're advising you not to, or is it in fact against the law? Now, I'm not clear on that. I thought it was against the law. But I do seem to remember this, that it's now a ticketable offense to smoke in the car with minors in the vehicle.
I think that's true.
It's not a moving violation. They can't pull you over, but they can give you a ticket once you are pulled over or parked. Yeah, I think that's right.
I still can't believe that you can, well, I don't even want to say it, but that...
You can't leave your car running while you're pumping your gas?
No, a cigarette can't set off gasoline. But I guess the fumes, yes. But.
I think we need to get a, you know what, do we have interns around this place anymore? Here's what we do. We get some gas.
No. We don't do that.
Representative Tom Demers on a phone line. He's on the Rules Committee for the House for the state of Illinois. Representative, this is John Williams. You're on WGN Radio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, John.
So you're the crazy guy that came up with this idea, huh? This is you, huh, Tom?
No, I'm not.
So you're the one that thought this would be a good idea.
Let's be very clear about this. I'm going to vote on it, and it's not in favor of it.
Well, so there's one lawmaker from Oak Park who came up with this idea. The proposed bill is one sentence long. There's no co-sponsors. I mean, this is just a bizarre conversation. That's all, right?
I agree. There's virtually no chance of this bill becoming law. But boy, has it got people talking over the weekend. I've gotten a huge number of emails to the office, a whole bunch of comments on social media and more. This is really shocking, really, that this law has been proposed.
To be clear, we're talking about Camille Lilly, who is a Democrat from Oak Park, and her bill is House Bill 4571. You are on the Rules Committee, so something like this has to go to you. And then suppose this was a serious piece of legislation, even if it's a silly one. What do you have to do with it then?
you know, basically the Rules Committee is just the first step for a bill, and it assigns it to a substantive committee. So this one would likely go to a, you know, a transportation committee because it's related to the transportation of gasoline. And then that committee would debate it and potentially vote on it. I'm not confident that Representative Willie is going to take it to that step. You know, this probably is something, given the public backlash to it, probably something that she'll be reconsidering.
Well, is this common? I mean, legislators sometimes just throw things out there as conversation starters. It seems to me like usually, I remember from Schoolhouse Rock, people tell their legislator something that's of concern to them, and enough people do, they write up a bill. So I presume she's hearing from constituents about this. I mean, in theory, that would be the idea, right?
Yeah, that's certainly one way that a bill comes together. But, you know, when you describe the bill, you said this is House Bill 4571. That means there's more than 4,500 bills that have been introduced in the House just in this term of the General Assembly alone. So when you really think about, you know, it's really easy to just introduce a bill. It's a whole different measure to actually get that bill to pass and become law. So this time of year, especially as we're just starting a new session year, there are all kinds of suggestions, all kinds of ideas that legislators introduce. The vast majority never become law, but every year we have a couple of bills like this that, you know, are just absolutely eyebrow raising and get people talking all across the state, and probably generate a lot more feedback than maybe the person who introduced the bill thought they would.
How could there possibly be 4,500? Bills? I mean, that's some people. Are they submitting hundreds of bills at a time?
Many people do have hundreds of bills, yeah. And, I mean, this is 4,500 bills just in the House. The Senate has several thousand bills on top of that.
How many of them have you read, sir? Have you carefully considered each of them?
I tell you, this bill was easy to read. As you said, this is about two sentences long.
Still, I think Steve makes an interesting point. That does not sound to me like an efficient use of legislators' time. 4,500.
Yeah,
bills.
You know a lot of times we get far more bills than we would ever feasibly have time to consider. This is part of the sort of the winnowing down process. Is a lot gets introduced, you sort of see who has bills in the same topic area and try to whittle that down to something that's reasonable for a committee to work through. Sometimes people introduce a bill and know that it's not going to move that year, but maybe they hope that it would spark a conversation or do something later.
Don't say spark.
But yeah, you know, we're not doing 5,000 bills for certain.
Well, we've reached out to her to no avail. I wonder what her rationale or reason is behind this.
Well, it sounds like it's maybe a job creation kind of bill, but this seems like a very inefficient way to create jobs. You know, we don't have government mandated jobs that help grow the economy, and that's certainly not the way to add jobs in Illinois.
And I don't know that we need it either. I mean, unemployment is relatively low. We need better wages, but we don't need more jobs. And I don't know that this is going to fix that. In fact, it seems to me like it's going to raise the cost of gas, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would absolutely raise the cost of gas. And frankly, it would put many small gas stations out of business. You know, this bill, as we said, it's one sentence. It says no gas shall be pumped unless it's by an attendant. I mean, that's think about from a gas station owner's perspective, trying to staff so you have folks to pump gas for every customer who comes in, you know, every hour, every minute that you're open. Would be just impossible to try to staff that.
Well, that's what we're wondering. So does she have a primary opponent who owns gas stations?
Maybe it is a subtle dig. I don't know.
And you think about it, some of those places have 10, 15, 20 pumps. Do they need to hire a dozen guys and gals to be running around tending to everybody? I mean, that'd create a lot of jobs, but I don't know that that's economically feasible.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you also think about how much, how there are busy hours at a gas station and there's hours where there's hardly anybody there. I mean, you'd have a lot of these attendants just sitting around waiting for a car to pull in.
I think, of course, they do it in Oregon and they do it in New Jersey. My understanding is it's a union issue in New Jersey, and I think they do it in Oregon because it's Oregon. But there's nobody's telling you, you've never heard this push from the ground up, right? Hey, Tom, we need gas station attendants, right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the feedback has been entirely the opposite. Everybody says we are perfectly satisfied to pump our own gas.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, the representative hasn't mentioned the bill yet without laughing at the end of a sentence.
Well, do you do you know this lawmaker, Camille Lilly? Is she known for being just a little quirky this way, Tom?
You know, I've worked productively with Representative Lilly on some other issues. We're working on some healthcare task forces together right now. I really don't know where this bill came from, but I'm sure that she's hearing pushback from folks, you know, in her district and also outside of her district, that maybe a bill that has as wide ranging consequences as this one is probably not a great idea right now.
Well, we can all relate to it. I think maybe her account got hacked or some intern just grabbed her phone and did this. But no, it's got a designated number, so it had to go through some process before it gets to you. And then you're not going. Will you then assign this to the Transportation Committee?
Well, so what's happening this year is because there's such a high volume of requests, a legislator has to ask the Rules Committee to send it to a substantive committee. So I don't know if Representative Lilly has made that request yet, but yeah. If she does not make that request to the Rules Committee, we won't even consider it. It will never even come on our agenda.
I'm voting for you, Tom. That's the sort of sensible legislative action I like to hear about.
Right.
Except I'm not in you're in Dixon, Illinois, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
There is something that I do think our listeners would like to hear you guys address. A lawmaker from Oak Park is suggesting that the law in Illinois be changed so that you can't pump your own gas, that an attendant has to do it. It's House Bill 4571, Camille Lilly's idea. She couldn't join us. Her bill passed on to the House Rules Committee. And on that Rules Committee is Tom Demmer, who's telling us that she can pitch that, but we've got thousands of bills and this ain't going to happen. So everybody just chill. But now we're also wondering, Tom, about a bunch of other things relative to gas stations. Do you know, is it the law that I have to turn off my car when I'm pumping gas? Can I smoke a cigarette? Is it the law that I can't while I'm pumping my gas? Do you know that stuff, Tom?
Well, I'll tell you, don't smoke a cigarette while you're pumping your gas, and don't leave your car on. I don't know if it's actually against the law or if it's just common sense, but yeah. I know that gas stations have these signs posted, and it is a bad idea to do that.
Here's what we should do. We should change the Constitution so that we can fix the pension debt crisis and we don't have to pay 3% cost of living allowances and get that thing under control. I don't know what happens to the people that are getting those fortunate pension payments now, but that thing is the elephant in every room, isn't it?
Yeah, pensions, you know, our contribution from the state level it's more than a fifth of the state budget. More than 25% of our general revenue goes to pensions. And we also hear a lot of the pressure that it's putting on units of local government all across the state. We did some pension consolidation legislation a couple of months ago to help relieve a little bit of the burden for communities, but it remains an absolutely dominant part of our conversations and any budget picture.
I said that's job one for Illinois, but you're the lawmaker. What would you say is the single most important thing that the legislature should concern itself with?
Well, I think it's trying to help Illinois grow. You know, over the last year, the House Republicans pushed a number of bills to help make Illinois more competitive for new investments, new job creation. Things like a data center incentive act that's already attracted tens of millions of dollars of investment in places like Elk Grove Village. We also reinstated this thing called the Manufacturer's Purchase Credit. Helps incentivize investments in manufacturers. That's led to, out in my district, a new project announced with 500 new jobs, large candy manufacturer. I think that, you know, you look across the country right now, the economy is doing really well. The economy is doing well in Illinois, too, sort of despite many of the higher cost and some of the competitive disadvantages we have. If we really want to have more funds available to address some of these large expenditures and some of these long-term obligations we have, it's got to be through the growth of the Illinois economy.
Are you guys talking about pot out there in Dixon? That's a topic in Chicago a lot.
Yeah, it's been a topic of a lot of city councils deciding whether to allow dispensaries or not, where to put them in zoning ordinances, things like that. We don't have any dispensaries in my district, but there are a few on the edges. So it maybe isn't ground zero out here, but people have certainly been talking about as the program continues to expand, it's going to be more likely that cities will have to make that decision.
One last thing. When I get to be King Tom, and I'm not, the paperwork is tied up at Cook County here, but if that happens, I'm going to make it so it's hard for legislators to get jobs where they lobby or influence legislation, either going in or coming out. This revolving door we have is, it just breeds corruption, I think.
Well, in addition to that, you know, right now it's allowed for a sitting state legislator to be a paid lobbyist to a place like the city of Chicago. I introduced a bill last fall to end that practice. Governor Pritzker said he supports that in his State of the State address. That's a very low-hanging fruit, common sense ethics reform that we're pushing for, and I've got a bill that says, you know, that will no longer be tolerated.
I'll push for that, my friend. I appreciate your time. Tom, it's nice to meet you. We'll call you now and again. You're a good conversation, and it sounds like you've got your head on your shoulders, and we really need more of that.
I appreciate it, John. Good talking to you.
That's Tom Demmer. He is a Republican lawmaker from Dixon, Illinois. We appreciate him coming on. By the way, Carol had a question. Hey, Carol, it's John. You're on GN. What can we do for you, Carol?
Yeah, King John, you've pushed several of my buttons. We'll go with the one about the gas station. First off, it did used to be illegal to pump your own gas in Chicago or Illinois. I know, I used to hang at a gas station and wasn't allowed to fill my own car.
Yeah.
And in the ensuing years, the smell of gas makes me want to throw up, so I do not pump my own gas. Causing a lot of friction with the husband, won't even go there. problem is I'm not the only person who can't pump gas. There are handicapped people, there are elderly people, there are people who just cannot pump gas.
Yeah.
And you can't find a gas station where somebody will do it for you.
Yeah. What do you do?
There is one where you have to be there before 10 in the morning and honk the horn. I have an elderly friend who does that.
Wow.
But it's like begging for somebody to put gas in your car because they don't have attendance. I mean, maybe we could have one station attendant where at every single gas station where somebody could come out and help the elderly, the handicapped, or the people who just can't do it.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I had not thought about that. You know, my mom was driving not that long ago, and she was not going to get gas herself. I don't know how mom did it. I did get an email from somebody or a text message, and they said on Belmont in Chicago, there's a full-service gas station where guys are working it. I suppose mm-hmm. they charge a little more, but I couldn't tell you where there's a full-service gas station to save my life. I hadn't even thought about it until now, Carol.
I know, and it's hard to travel, you know, unless you have somebody to pump gas for you.
How about it?
And again, if they're pumping gas and I can smell it on their hands, I will get sick from it. And then there's that pension thing you guys all talk about. You know, my husband worked to a contract to earn that pension. I don't know why people think he should lose it. And again, people who live in the city do pay taxes. They've done their job. They've worked on under their contract, and somebody didn't do their job.
When did he start collecting this estate pension?
City pension.
When did he start collecting it?
15.
Wait,
how old was he though?
60 okay. something.
So say but 65, and say he lives to 95.
Well, right now he's 73.
Well, what's your point, Steve?
Well, no, I'm all for pensions. I think they should renegotiate them because the what's in there now is needs to be limited. But if you worked for it and you worked under that plan, you're
they
entitled to it.
The contract. But, it's something that he agreed to do when he took the job. And then all of a sudden he retires.
Hold on, Carol.
3 years after he retired, he loses his medical.
What my issue, though, are when people retire at age 50 and are able to do that and collect a government pension for the rest of their lives. I think it should be
65.
Right. So I think, you know, the pension should, that's one thing to look at is you qualify for a pension after so many years, but you can't start collecting it until you are 62 or 65 or something like that.
But every time we hear a newscast where they say, oh, these people who get these pensions, they earn them. They work for them. They actually put some of their own money into them.
No, I know it. And they're not going to get Social Security if it's a state worker, right? But here's the thing.
Some do if you worked before. When you have a city or a state pension and you have Social Security, they take half your Social Security away.
Carol won't take my call. So, Carol, here's the thing. I think that any of us would take the deal you and your husband got if we could get it. I think the only accommodation I want from you is the acknowledgement that it's a pretty good deal. Right, like I know you earned it, now you work for it, but other people don't get a deal like that. And the problem is, and it's not
your money. The politicians get
it's fair, whatever. It's not, and it's not even your problem to fix, Carol. But the deal is, the state can't afford it. They made a deal that they now can't afford
because they did not put their money in.
I understand that.
They
took it out
to use it for other things.
I know that.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you watch them wasting the money they were supposed to promise you and were supposed to do. And then you have somebody like me who, I worked a lot of years, and I never worked. Well, I did work long enough to earn a pension. The company went under. Don't have any idea if I have anything in there. And after that, I couldn't work because I had other things to deal with, like infirmed parents and children.
I'm glad you're listening, Carol. I'm out of time, but this topic's going to come up again. You call us another day.
I'll try.
Bye. I know. That's our friend Carol. Well, she's our friend now. She listens to WGN. Ji Suki, just down the hall. Hi, Ji.
Hi, John. We're going to be talking about scams, coronavirus scams, if you can believe it, romance scams, and then also about the extension of the red line.
All good topics.